You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. Today, we're going to be talking about content creation. And, you know, we're recording this at the beginning of, actually, it's the second quarter now. Wow. In fact, we are recording on Star Wars Day, May the 4th. So I'm thinking about all of the conversations I've had recently related to creating content through automation, which is actually what we were just talking about before I hit record. But we're not going to talk about automation or artificial intelligence or any of that new age stuff. What we're going to be talking about today is really some core foundational stuff that most every business ought to do when it comes to content creation for things like their social channels. And also this could apply to emails and blog posts and other things. I'm talking about the information that exists in your business that you need to be sharing and getting out into the world so that prospective and existing clients actually understand what you do and how you can support them. I'm not a huge expert in this area, although I tend to talk about it a lot, but thankfully we have somebody who is joining me today, and that is Sarah Farraghese, who is, I was going to say joining me from, and then I realized I've forgotten where you are. So Sarah, welcome, and where are you?
Thank you, David. I really appreciate being here today. I'm actually in Columbus, Ohio.
So, I know it well. I know it well. So, all right, Sarah, I've sort of set up what we're talking about because it was something we were just discussing right before we hit record. And you were giving me an example of how this plays out, specifically with a business owner you were talking to recently. And so maybe you can bring us into that conversation a little bit more so we can understand the context of content creation based on stuff that's already known inside of a business.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had a one-to-one meeting with one of my BNI members this morning, and we sat down just to kind of talk through like getting to know her better, getting to know me better. But I'm also the one in the group that gives a lot of marketing advice since I'm the only marketing person in the group. And part of what she said is she doesn't even know what to post when she's putting up her marketing. She's like, it takes me so long to think of anything to post. And I said, well, really, you're just posting the things that the people come and ask you when you're sitting in front of them for the first time. Any of the questions that they're asking you, like, how do I get pre-qualified? So if I'm talking to our mortgage lender, that's who I was talking to this morning. How do I get pre-qualified? And then she's like, well, you don't really pre-qualify anymore. You really have to get pre-approved. I'm like, okay, there's a topic. What's the difference between pre-qualified, pre-approved, and which one needs to come first? Or is pre-qualified even a thing anymore? And she's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And I said, anything that people are going to question you on, start making notes on it, whether it's on the phone or whether it's afterwards, anything that they ask you, just don't assume that your audience knows anything. In fact, assume that they know nothing and that they're coming to you asking you all these questions in person, but they need to know them ahead of time as well so that they see you as the expert.
All right. So I'm thinking about, you know, her situation and what you've just described there. And I imagine that there's an easy way to start coming up with that list. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were to think about how in your business, you're repeating the same information over and over again, every time you have a, I don't know, sales conversation or a client onboarding conversation, what other places might be a good place to identify this kind of material?
I mean, you can go to Google. You can go to Google and just type in, I need a house mortgage, or, you know, I'm anything about your industry. And then if you scroll down a little bit, there's those questions that auto-generate of what the most popular question is. And you look through that and go, Yeah. Or even reading some of the answers to it, you're like, well, that's not exactly true. Well, there you go. There's one of your topics. Or watching the news, you know, if you're watching the news and like they're saying, oh, the housing market is doing this and this and this. And you're like, no, it's not. That's not true. You're doing that for like publicity, not just for the facts. Well, there's another topic. Anytime you're out seeing something and you see and you're like, that's yes, but not quite. That's another topic. It's just, it's continuous education. You see things all the time with your industry that you're like, ah, that makes me so mad. Well, make a topic about it. If you don't like what you're seeing out there, then be the person who's bringing the education that you want people to actually know.
All right. I want to sort of go a little bit deeper into sort of how to do all of this and you know, the best applications for all of this information. But I think before we do, we should talk a little bit about you and your business. And you have sort of two different ways that you serve clients. And maybe we can get a little bit of an understanding of your approach to marketing and your area of expertise.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have two different models. I have a DIY model and I have a done-for-you model. So I have a belief that in the very beginning of people's businesses, sometimes they feel just so overwhelmed with marketing. They know they should be doing it, but they don't feel like they have the money to invest in it. And instead of like jumping all in, they just, their thought is, if I only had someone that could just tell me what to do, I could do this. I just need someone to tell me what to do. And so I have a DIY playbook that I call, it's kind of like your game plan. Where I sit down and I chat with people for about 90 minutes and I tell them, listen, this is what you're currently doing. This is who you want to go after. So these are the different things that you should be doing in your business. And then they tell me like, I really want to do speaking gigs. I'm like, great. These are the different organizations you should reach out to that would be interested in your kind of services. This is the kind of thing that you should write up for your speech. This is where you should show up on social media. Social media is a handshake to meeting people in person. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to do both, right? It's not one or the other. These days, people who meet you in person are going to do their research on you online, and you need to be able, but you can't also rely completely online. You know, you want to be able to meet people in person as well. So I teach people how to do both online and in person. And then for the business that's further along, and they're ready to start delegating. And they're like, okay, I did it by myself. I understand how hard it is. My time's better spent someplace else than I have a done for you model. And so then businesses come to me and then they're like, I really need help with my video marketing. Can you create videos for me? But I also want you to edit them and upload them and tag them and all that kind of stuff for YouTube. Can you also share those videos over onto my Facebook and my Instagram and all the things? And I'm like, yes, I can. So it just depends on what season of life they're in their business life. Are you in the DIY or the done for you?
I love the word season. And it's one that I noticed you use on your website as well to sort of describe the place that they are in their business. I was going to make a pun about, you know, through looking through a different lens, but you come to video because you've actually spent time in that world as a photographer, right? And yeah. So that probably informs a lot of the work that you've done, at least in terms of the aesthetic element of it.
Yeah, I have a photography background. I was a full-time photographer for 10 years. But prior to that, I was also a graphic designer, and I've also done video post-production and marketing jobs. So I have a wide variety of skills that now coming together are utilized in done for you work for different clients. Or I also have a teaching background. I was a elementary teacher, art teacher, and then also taught college for a little bit. So I also, that's where the DIY comes in, where I know how to teach properly to not make it so overwhelming. And send tutorials, video tutorials on how to walk people through. In fact, my newsletter, the hook that I send out to people is a video tutorial teaching people how to improve their videos on their own by, you know, like right now I'm facing a window instead of having a window at my back. And I show all the different scenarios that people do that are the right ways and the wrong ways, and how to make sure that you look presentable on camera.
That's awesome. And I think that, you know, that's something that many business owners don't necessarily think about when it comes to engaging somebody to help them with their marketing, is the background and the skill set and the range of ways that they could be supported, right? So you have both technical knowledge in certain areas, as well as the ability to communicate and help walk them through and guide them. That's something that, I'm sorry to say, but you and I both know this, in our industry, and this is, maybe we should create some content around this, in our industry, yeah, is sorely missing from a lot of marketers' toolkits, is the ability to do anything beyond their technical knowledge of how to, you know, edit a video, or but not necessarily even understanding the structure of the video or the way that it needs, something needs to be communicated in order for that video to have a utility in marketing, you know, a business.
Yeah. And also the psychology behind it, right? There's psychologies behind certain colors that we use and the way we talk about things. And, you know, when you're first standing up in front of a crowd, or even the videos that you're doing, you shouldn't jump right into introducing who you are. You know, you should start with a story if it's a monologue thing. That way they're more likely to like be intrigued in the story, and then you come back around and introduce yourself. Or the creativity side of it. You know, I try to keep, I mean, obviously you see my dinosaur hair. I try to keep things really light and fun and flowing, because I don't want the business owners who are coming to me to begin with, because they need marketing help, I don't want them to feel overwhelmed by how intimidating marketing can be. So I make it fun and playful, and, you know, try to like joke about it. And as long, because, you know, the years in the classroom taught me that how I approach teaching is how people are going to experience it. So if I come in being super serious and, you know, you need to do this and this and this and this and this, then it feels intimidating and it feels not approachable. But if I come in like talking about my dinosaur and, you know, She-Rex marketing, and I'm going to turn you into a T-Rex, and the lightness of it helps people feel like it's more approachable and it's doable because of the energy that I'm bringing to the messages.
You mentioned the dinosaur, and we're going to get to that in a few minutes. But I want to now step back into the scenario that we were talking about earlier, in terms of a business owner having lots of information that they can share, and your guidance to them about how to identify things and then be able to, you know, have an entire list of things that you could build into some kind of content. So there's two questions here, and I wonder if you can sort of guide us through a process, because for regular listeners, you know that process and systems are a couple of my favorite words. What advice or what guidance do you have, or if you're doing the work for somebody, what systems do you create for yourself to help support, right? Oh, I have an idea, right? Where does that idea go? What's the process for taking that idea and turning it into something? And how does that all get tracked? I imagine that that there's got to be a system, otherwise it doesn't get done.
Right. No, absolutely. So the first thing is I carry, you know, my phone around and have my notes. I have running lists of things anytime I have a new idea. So 2023, you know, I have a running list of all the ideas. And anytime I'm out and I see something and I can't do too much in the moment, but I quickly like open up my phone and take a note, like this is a topic, just enough to give me a reminder of what it is. So when I go back to it, I remember what I was looking at.
Just clarification on what you're saying, because I know plenty of people, I work with plenty of people who jot down notes all over the place, meaning all over the place, wherever they happen to be, right? So I'll tell you, and I kid you not, I'm on a Zoom call and we're discussing something. Well, I have somebody I work with who actually sends me private Zoom chats as their notes, right? Little do they know, or maybe they do, that's not going to be something they're going to easily find, right? Sometimes they'll take notes, somebody else I know, takes notes in Slack.
Yeah.
I don't think you're talking about that. You're talking about like a consistent place. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One place, because yes, it's too easy to write a note here and write a note there. And then you think you're going to gather up all those notes when you're ready, except you're not going to be able to find them. You know, you go scrambling through, like I used to have like notebooks. I mean, I still have lots of notebooks, but used to have notebooks where I take all the notes on things. I'm like, which notebook did I put that in? But when it comes to creating content and I want to find it right away, for me, the easiest thing is just to open up my notes, and my notes is Google Keep. So that way, when I'm opening up Google Keep, I can find it on my phone, but I can also find it on my computer. So it doesn't matter where I am, those notes transfer to both places because it's a Google Suite thing, right? So I can have a running note. And then one day a month, I sit down and I go through all of those. And by the way, when I'm doing in Google Keep, I do them as checkboxes so that once I actually have done that video, I can click that checkbox and it doesn't delete it, but it does take it off the main list so that I know that I've already done that topic. But the reason I do them as checkboxes and not just delete them is because you can repurpose your content, which people don't seem to understand, but you can do the exact same content. Sometimes you can even just repurpose the video without having to actually redo the content, but you can redo the content in like a month. If you're posting every day, or if you're posting three times a week, let's say you're posting three times a week, you can redo that same content in like 3 months, sometimes less than that, if it did really well, and no one's going to notice. I've gone through spells where I didn't want to post. You know, that happens even for us. I didn't want to post. I was going through other personal things and I didn't feel like creating new content. All I did was I went to my old content and brought it back up, rescheduled it out, and nobody noticed.
This is very similar to what you were just talking about a few minutes ago about the conversation you had this morning, right? We think that in our own business, everybody knows all the stuff that we know because we're exposed to it all the time. Obviously, everybody knows it. Same thing with content, right? We see it. We created it. We can't do the same thing again. But there's only a limited number of people who encountered it the first time or the second time or the eighth time it was out there.
Right. Especially on like your social media, right? On your Instagram and your Facebook, your videos don't stay current. Like the more videos you put on top of it, they get buried underneath everything. And most people are not going to go back and binge everything like they would on YouTube. YouTube is more for binging. Instagram and Facebook is more for in the moment. I mean, try to find something on Facebook that you posted like a month ago if you're posting on a regular basis, and it's kind of difficult. So you got to look at your consumers as the same thing. Your consumers aren't going to be able to go back and find something again. They might have liked it the first time, but you can repost the same thing and they're not going to remember that they watched it the first time because they're like, this is our culture. Our culture scrolls so quickly that they don't remember what they saw 5 minutes ago, let alone last week or yesterday even, you know? So it's about not being afraid of reusing your material. Basically you say the same thing. Pick like three or five topics and say the same thing over and over and over again. You know, and people, it's going to take them a while to remember what you said. And even then, I've been repeating the same three topics for the last year. And when I tell people that, they're like, oh, yeah, I guess you do, don't you? And I'm like, but would you acknowledge that in the beginning unless I told you that? And they're like, no, I guess not. I'm like, your clients are the same thing. Mm-hmm. Pick the things that they really need to hear from you and then do that on repeat. Sometimes it's different outfits, sometimes it's not.
I never thought about what I'm wearing, but I guess now I'm going to pay attention to that. So, and this is, I think, makes it a lot easier for the business owner too, right? They don't have to overthink it. They can say, all right, I have three areas, five areas that I'm always going to be talking about. I can relate it from lots of different angles, and so it's a lot less pressure.
Yeah. And the thing is like when you're creating content, you know, some people just want to take their old videos and repurpose. And there is a time and place for that. But the reason that it's good for you to create new videos every once in a while, even if they're about the same content topics, is also practice for you saying those things out loud. So that way, when you're out in public and you encounter somebody new and they ask you about something, you've said it so many times on videos that it rolls off your tongue. And you get, you know, I get complimented all the time in public about, wow, you just know how to talk about your business. And I'm like, because I'm talking about my business all the time on video. Like, the more you're practicing saying these things, especially trying to get it really concise, we're trying to get it, you know, under 90 seconds for Instagram or under 60 seconds for YouTube Shorts. Like, the more you're talking about your business, even if it's just a video, the more easily you'll find it to talk about, you know, to strangers out and about. Or the opposite is true too. You know, if you're really good at talking in person to whoever you're in front of, just take that mentality and think of that client that you've got along really well with when you start to get on video, and just think, I'm talking to these people. They need to know this information. Maybe you're, even if you pretend like I'm making this video that so specifically for these clients, and you're answering a question, and that takes away a little bit of the anxiety of being on video if you can imagine who's on the other side watching it.
All right. As you've been talking about this, I'm thinking two things. I'm thinking, number one, video is intimidating for a lot of people.
It is, yeah.
And I'm imagining that you probably have some tips and tricks about how to deal with it, but you probably also have a response about, you know, ways to approach it. And so before we get to the tips and tricks, mm-hmm. I wonder if you could tell us the story of Martha.
Martha. Okay. I'll see if I can like shorten it here.
Pretend it's a YouTube short. You have 60 seconds. Go.
I almost had a stroke in 2018. I realized I wasn't having a lot of fun in my business. I was too like driven, too regimented on it. And that's not my personality. And so when I had to slow down because I had to have a recovery period to get rid of the clots, I decided to go back to one of the projects that I used to give my students when I was teaching college in photography. And I found this little dinosaur. I watched a movie called Mr. Right with Anna Kendrick. It's a little bit quirky. It's a little bit like you either like it because you like the quirkiness, or you're like, you think this a little weird, but I loved it. And in the movie, her character wants to be a T-Rex. And at one point she screams, she's like, I'm a T-Rex, I'm invincible. And because I had just survived a massive stroke where all the doctors were really surprised I was still alive, I was like, huh. Well, I just survived a stroke, which means I'm invincible, which means I'm a T-Rex, right? So my personality, my humor, thought it was funny. And so I found a little T-Rex and I started carrying her around everywhere and photographing her, telling stories, visual stories, because I love it. And my photography photography clients at the moment like loved it. And I brought her to her wedding. And then I brought her to another wedding. And then I had my clients pose with her at the end of the night. And it became a thing, like really fast became a thing. I had clients ask me, is Martha coming to my wedding too? Am I one of your clients? And I'm like, oh, well, of course she's coming. She found out you have desserts, you know? And it turned out that people started coming to me because of Martha, because I started putting her in my marketing and branding so much. I started taking her to wedding shows with me. And I'd set her on the table and people were like, what's up with the dinosaur? I was like, oh, that's just Martha. You know, she just needs to let you know that she's going to be at your wedding too. And if you think she's funny and you get the humor, then you're my kind of client.
Oh, I love that.
And so I started attracting more people that way. So when the pandemic hit and I lost all my photography business and I had to pivot hard and fast to something that would make money. I started a marketing company. I had a marketing background, graphic design background, video, you know, all the background. And I had been teaching, you know, colleagues over networking events how to do their marketing for years. And so I thought, well, marketing company, what should I name it? I know how important names are. And in that time, I'm like, okay, marketing name, you could name it something really obvious that Google will pick up. And that's easy to find. But if you go with something that matches more of your personality, you got to push it harder. And I just decided, whatever, I like to be difficult. So I went with SheRex Marketing. And instead of T-Rex, SheRex, because I'm Sarah and I'm a girl. And I just thought it was quirky and funny and more memorable. And so I was like, SheRex Marketing Solutions, that sounds good. Yeah. And I'll just carry a dinosaur around with me everywhere. I even have a dinosaur head that I wear in some of my videos sometimes. I do. If you go to my Instagram and you scroll through it, you'll see like some of the videos I have like a dinosaur head. Now I can't breathe for very long when I have it on, but I have one because why not? So it's kind of the... So-
I wanted you to talk about this a little bit, because one of the things that I think can help somebody overcome anxiety, and you probably have a lot of other things, right, is to deflect attention from themselves onto something else. And you have that device built into that story. And that's just one of the things that I've taught people to do over the years to make them feel more comfortable. What other advice do you have on that front?
When people are getting on video for the first time and they're self-conscious about how they look and how they're going to sound, and maybe they don't like the sound of their voice, or they don't like how they're just, there's so many anxiety and so much nervousness about getting it right. It has to be right. And there's a couple different approaches that I take depending on the person. First of all, I'm like, listen, everybody sucks in the beginning. Everybody sucks at this. You just don't see the beginning, because usually their runway has been long enough that by the time you find them, it's because they've grown their audience. But if you scroll back far enough, you're going to see the beginning videos that will probably make them cringe and will make you go, oh, is that where you started? Okay. So that's the one thing, is that everybody sucks. You got to embrace it. Embrace the messy actions in the beginning. But then if they're still really subconscious of things, I'm like, listen, in the beginning, just record yourself saying all these things and don't post it yet. If that makes you feel better, record it so that you can hear yourself talking about what you need to, or go around the house. And every once in a while, I like to put, this is also a teacher thing that I learned. I like to put post-it notes up on door frames. And so when you're passing, if you have a particular topic on that post-it note, you're tapping it. And as you're going through the door, you're talking about that topic really quick. Just like, I'll walk through and go, industry language, like maybe the post note says industry language. And as I'm walking through the door, I'm saying, industry language, do you know what that is? That's the language that you use when you're talking to your colleagues, not to your clients. Your clients need to know their vocabulary, not your vocabulary. And your vocabulary can go over their head. And if they don't understand, we need to break it down for them, talk to them like they're a fifth grader. And that really quick thing just kind of makes me say it out loud so that I get used to hearing myself talking about the topics that my clients need to hear from me. So whatever your three or five different things that you want to talk about, which when I work with people, that's some of the things that we work through, is what are your three or five topics that you're going to talk about on repeat? You just put them on post-it notes going around, like on the bathroom mirror, on the refrigerator. And whenever you see it, tap it and really quick, tell yourself what would be the answer to that topic if you're talking about that in front of somebody. So you get used to hearing yourself talk about these things so that when you are turning on a camera, then you're working through the set of anxiety of like, I don't know how I look or feel, you know, how do I feel about this? And then, like I said before, record yourself enough times that you get used to it. And I say, like, for about a week, give yourself a deadline. For about a week, record yourself at least once a day, just saying these things that you've practiced out loud. And then it's time just to rip off the Band-Aid, because honestly, those first handful of videos, they're just going to suck until you get used to doing it enough. And in the beginning, the nice thing is in the beginning, when you don't have an audience, your audience is small. It's like your mom, your grandma, your aunt, your best friend, and maybe a business buddy. And like, it's easier to be bad at something with a small audience when you kind of know who they are. You know, get good in front of the audience and then you'll get more comfortable with it. I promise. Like, I, as a photographer, I hated being in front of the camera, like avoiding it at all cost. And then I'm like, okay, realistically, Sarah, we know the answer to this. We know we have to just do this. This is just like a sink or swim kind of thing. And so, you know, I had a very, very small audience, and but I knew them and I knew I was safe with them. So as you're getting better at it, now I have people that, you know, see me in the grocery store and they're like, oh my gosh, you're blowing up. Your videos are amazing. Oh my gosh, you're like good at this. And I'm like, and in my head, I'm like, yeah, thank you. But I wasn't like 6 months ago. You get better at it, just like anything else you do in life. Anything. Basketball, writing, drawing, driving, anything that you want to get good at, the more you do it, the better you get. The less you do it, the more you forget how to do it, right? Like, do you remember when the pandemic was over and, well, not over, but, and we started driving again?
Yeah.
And for a beginning, like hitting traffic, I'm like, I don't know how to do this, because I hadn't done it for what, like a couple months. And all of a sudden you hit rush hour and it scares you for a minute. Video is the same thing.
Yeah.
Once you start doing it more, you'll get better at it.
Now, everything that you've just talked about in terms of getting mentally prepared for video and the practice of doing that extends into other areas of life. You talked about BNI, right? And yeah. I can imagine that somebody who goes through what you've just described and starts talking about the things in their business more concisely, right? More consistently using the same phrases is going to show up at BNI in a very different way than they were before.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Like the people who stand up and still go, oh, you know, they're nervous. And I'm like, these people in the room are your friends. You've known these people for a while, but you still don't know how to talk about your business and you're still stumbling over it. It's because you haven't practiced saying the stuff enough to have the confidence in what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So you can be good in front of your clients, but you need to be able to talk about your business no matter who's in front of you.
We're just about out of time, but I want to make sure that folks know if they are fans of Quirky, right? If they are, I would say Anna Kendrick fans, because there seems to be a quirkiness in pretty much any of her films, maybe even Wes Anderson, although I don't know if that's too quirky. Where folks can find you if they want to learn more about either working with you as a service provider or as somebody who can coach them through doing all of this?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best place to go to is my website. It's www.SheRex-marketing.com. So SheRex, just like T-Rex, is the easiest place to find all my links and any other thing that you want to find about me and my services and that kind of thing. And yeah, Martha's there too.
Brilliant. If you go to SheRexMarketing.com without the dashes, you'll find a site that doesn't exist, although we should probably hunt down the owner of that and make sure that you can buy that domain from them at some point. She-Rex-Marketing.com. Sarah Varughese, thank you so very much for hanging out. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you so much, David. I appreciate being here.
Indeed. Folks, you've been listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. I'm sure that in this conversation, you had a few aha moments that you'd like to share with somebody else out there, please, by all means, share this episode with all the business owners and marketers in your life. And I look forward to seeing you back here on another episode of More Perfect Marketing real soon. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.